Well, welcome everybody to this second part, to After Half Time. I'm going to talk about Jeremiah today, as you're probably aware. What you said, Carol, really set the scene for that, because Jeremiah is one of those people who went through a lot of suffering himself and had the job given to him by God, the unenviable job of exposing a lot of ugliness that was going on in the kingdoms at the time. So I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about not just Jeremiah, but also the biblical prophets in general. The biblical prophets, if you read through them in the Old Testament, they all live within about a period of about 400 years or so. And a lot of them, they're known as what's called the major prophets and some of the minor prophets. And Jeremiah and Isaiah, people like that are what's called some of the major prophets. And they lived roughly around the same time as each other. Some people even think that Isaiah was a mentor of Jeremiah. So I want to talk a bit about the biblical prophets in general and what sort of characteristics they had as people and what their role was and what their role wasn't as well. But before I start, let me just ask you guys, when you think of Jeremiah, what do you think of? What comes to mind?
Bullfrog.
Todd said that before, bullfrog. And I'd never heard that song. It sounds like he played it to me before. It sounds a very 70s type song. Okay. So apart from a bullfrog, what else do you think, Jeremiah, what comes to mind when you think of him?
A boy's man.
Sorry, Jeremiah 29:11. Can you quote that? Give you hope in the future.
Yes.
What were you saying, Jen?
I wish I hadn't said. Just Jeremiah brings a boy's name.
A boy's name. Yeah. And interesting. I'll talk about that in a minute, actually.
Oh no, you're serious, aren't you?
I am serious. I'm deadly serious.
But no. Why is it that I keep coming up with all these things in church?
It's good. Maybe someone's saying something to you.
Maybe.
Anything else? Think of Jeremiah. Bullfrog, Jeremiah 29:11, boy. Okay. Jeremiah is often known as the weeping prophet. Tradition says that he wrote, obviously, the book of Jeremiah. Some say he also wrote the books of Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, and he also wrote Lamentations. Has anyone read Lamentations in the Old Testament? It's a book where if you're going through depression, and you think no one understands, read Lamentations, because Lamentations was written by someone who was despairing. Everything was doom and gloom and disaster, and Jeremiah, it says, wrote that book. And as Carol was saying just before during the break too, right in the middle of all that, Jeremiah has his famous verse in Lamentations where he says, do you want to say it? Lamentations 3:22. You're sorry, put you on the spot. It's actually because I've forgotten it myself. Did anyone else quote Lamentations 3:22? It's basically saying that he can trust in God, his mercies are new every morning. So Jeremiah says that in Lamentations, right in the middle of all this disaster and despair that he's feeling is going on. So he's known as a weeping prophet, a prophet of doom, and people talk about, there's these caricatures of the end of the world. They're often called a Jeremiah as well. So Lamentations, if you're feeling like no one understands what you're going through, read Lamentations. And it's great that sort of book is in the Bible, I think. It just, for me, it just shows the Bible's accessibility to real life. There's a God who understands, and the biblical writers went through all that stuff too. The thing about mentioning a boy, as Jen did before, Jeremiah was called of God to begin his ministry. How old do you think he was when he was called?
10.
Any other guesses?
20. 15.
He was 13, they say. So he was a teenager. He was a boy.
I was going to say a teenager, but I wish I had a entertainment.
Well, I'll just say it next time. He was so he was a boy. And he also resisted God's call, saying that he's only a child and he didn't know how to speak. That's in Jeremiah 1, verse 6, I think it is. So he's this prophet, this great figure that's called by God, and he resists it initially, saying he's only a child and he doesn't know how to speak. Where have you had that before?
Moses.
Moses, yeah. So Moses said a similar thing. You know, I can't speak properly. Who am I? But again, God says that to Jeremiah, as he did to Moses, to go and speak. And he touches Jeremiah's mouth to place the word of the Lord there, to Jeremiah 1:9. Jeremiah lived at a time when Jerusalem was about to fall to the Babylonian Empire, which is one of the greatest empires the world's ever known, up until the Roman Empire at the time. So his ministry was active from roughly around 626 BC until after the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple, which was around 587 BC. So around that roughly time, so 600 years or so before the birth of Jesus. So it was a very, very significant time in the history of God's people. You know, the fall of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, is a major time in the history of the people of God. So he was born into a time of violence. He's born into a time of power struggles and a time where there was much uncertainty around the place and also much injustice as well. And so Jeremiah was called by God to give prophecy of Jerusalem's destruction. Now imagine you're called by God saying, Melbourne is going to be destroyed if you don't change your ways. Okay, you're probably going to be seen, you're probably going to be ostracised pretty quickly and said that you're crazy. Basically, Jeremiah was called by God to do this because Israel had been unfaithful to the laws of the covenant that God had put in and had forsaken God by worshipping this other god, Baal. So the people of Israel had even gone as far as building altars to Baal in order to burn their children in fire as offerings. So they'd gone that far. So Jeremiah warned that if the rulers continued to neglect God's desire for justice, the nation would fall to the Babylonian Empire. Okay. Israel had deviated so far from God that they'd broken the covenant and causing God to withdraw his blessings. And that's something I think, just a little aside, I think a lot of Christians need to hear today when they blindly support Israel, because support for Israel is often done because people think that God is Israel is God's people, but God is a God of justice and actually God only will but basically God wants justice to rule, and it's we're to do what Jesus did and support those who are oppressed. That's all I'll say about that at the moment.
It wasn't Israel that was being talked about here, it was Judah. Mm. Because Israel, the northern states, had actually been taken away by the Assyrians a few decades before. And here's people saying it's not going to happen to us because we've got Jerusalem.
Right.
So
yep.
In fact, they should have, they weren't listening, were they?
No.
You know, so this is even more powerful because everyone was telling them, get this sorted out, otherwise
yep.
What happened to your brothers up north will happen to you.
Yep, exactly right, yep. So yeah, so Jeremiah was guided by God to proclaim that the nation of Judah would be faced with famine, it would be plundered and taken captive by foreigners who would exile them to a foreign land, as you're saying, Grant. What the situation also was too, that the kings at the time and their people neglected to care for the poor, the weak and the sick, and they also exploited the poor to give money to the rich as well. And Jeremiah was going to speak out and did speak out about that. And he said all this stuff was going to happen to the land if the people didn't change their ways. Now, when Jeremiah refers to the people, he actually was referring to the rulers of the people. The rulers were the ones who led the people into idolatry, and that's what Jeremiah critiques. It was the rulers that Jeremiah was railing against. By they're not caring about the poor, not caring about justice, and just caring about stocking up wealth for those who are already rich. The the rulers actually actually taxed the poor to give more money to the king and the king's friends as well. Well, my next point, there are striking similarities to what we see in the world today with that time as well. Jeremiah's message is if they don't change their ways, the nation will fall. So Jeremiah lived under a ruler who oppressed his people, who oppressed people wanting to come into his country, who oppressed women, and he lived under a ruler who didn't care for the orphans and for the needy. And we see that in a lot of places in the world today. And we think of certain countries, and we think of our own country as well. He also lived under a ruler who incited violence amongst his own people as well. Jeremiah was a person who wept and yelled. One of these, I guess if you think of the stereotype of a prophetic figure, he's one of these people who yelled and screamed, but nobody would listen to his voice. And I thought about that, and you think, well, when you think of Jeremiah, not a lot has changed. You know, I don't know about you, but when you get on Facebook, you know, and you put up something that's serious about a certain issue or something, and you might get a few likes and a few comments, but you put up a photo of a fluffy, cute dog, and all sorts of, you know, you get all sorts of likes and people love that stuff. And I think
likes and comments,
yeah, you do. And it's I know it sometimes it frustrates me, I have to say, that we get likes about that sort of stuff, but we don't get much comment about issues that really matter.
You have to engage your brain to think about it.
Engaging
your brain.
That's true. So when you think of this and think of the similarities to today's culture, today's society, in our world today, who are some of the Jeremiahs that you might think of? Are there any that you can think of who speak out prophetically, and how are they viewed by their culture and by the church if they're Christian figures? Is there anyone you can think of who might be thought of as a Jeremiah type figure? Might not be anyone. He copped a lot of flack some years ago when he wrote a book. He's got a book out now called What is the Bible? He got a lot of flack some years ago when he wrote a book called Love Wins. A lot of his flack was caused before the book even came out, before people had even read it. Anyone else you can think of?
Richard Dawkins.
Richard Dawkins, you reckon? You reckon he is prophetically speaking? How so, Ian? Okay, he speaks about science. How about in terms of speaking to the culture? In a lot of ways. I think, Dawkins is a very, very smart man, very, very smart scientist. He's also delved into a lot of areas which he doesn't know a lot about. No, he's a very smart man.
What about the guys that are standing up for climate change? Whether you believe it or not, they've got a voice out there that a lot of people would turn a deaf ear to. Now, they're not preaching Christ, of course, but they're still preaching a message to the world that a lot of people are not interested in listening to.
Yeah. I think a lot of prophetic figures are not necessarily Christian as well. They're ones that speak into the culture and have courage to speak out, and they might be ridiculed for that as well.
The likes of Shane Claiborne,
yep,
you know, stands up for injustice and against war.
Yep.
And is willing to put his life out there, actually go and spend time with Saddam Hussein, you know, put himself in harm's way, but
yep,
very few people listen to him.
Yeah. So Shane Claiborne, does anyone know who, anyone not know who he is? So he's an American activist guy. He's probably only in his mid-30s or maybe 40. Been around for a long time, but he started off as went over to Iraq during the Iraq War as a human shield, I think, and he's been known back in the US for speaking up and speaking out a lot, and but also not just speaking out, but living out his faith as well. So we'll talk a bit more about that, not about him specifically, but about what prophets do as well. One thing about Jeremiah too, and about the biblical prophets, is that they did more than speak out against the rulers of the time. They also spoke for a better world as well. Jeremiah spoke for God's vision, where rulers cared for those in need. And if you see all through the Bible, there's this theme of God renewing the creation, renewing the world. Right from the Genesis story, when you have the creation, the fall, and so on, all the way through the Bible, through the story of Israel, through the prophets, the coming of Jesus, the early church, the letters, then through into Revelation, where it talks about the new creation, you have this theme of God renewing the world. And is this theme of hope, and that one day there will be justice, there will be hope, there will be peace in the world. And that's what Jeremiah ached for, and that was his passion. And that's what he really wanted to preach about and speak about as well. As I mentioned before, one of his possibly contemporaries, or a person who lived in a similar time, was Isaiah. And if in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah comes just before Jeremiah. Not that it's chronological necessarily, but they're both a couple of the major prophets. And Isaiah spoke about a day when God would renew all things, and Jeremiah did the same. And I don't know if you can read that from back there, but is anyone able to read that out? This is from Isaiah 65, when he talks about this vision of a new heavens and a new earth. You can't see it because of that? Move the...
No, you stand. You stand.
Okay. Someone want to read it out?
See, okay. I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be an infant who lives only but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought to be a mere child, and the one who fails to read 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them, they will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. I like that part. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will the day be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. And Collingwood will be a curse. Will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountains, says the Lord.
I'm going to say something about false prophets pretty soon,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
That's right. There's some comment about, was it glasses and being one-eyed as well?
Yeah, that's right.
So that's that vision that Isaiah has. And that's a similar vision that you see in Revelation 21 as well, about a new heavens and a new earth where there'll be no more tears, no more pain, and the old things have passed away. That's this great vision. This is, in this case, Isaiah. But Jeremiah spoke about it as well. And the prophets of the Old Testament all pretty much had that sort of view. They spoke out and they screamed and yelled about the injustice of that was happening to the people. But they also had this calling about hope as well. So there's a few questions I've got for us today to look at. This next one is what I want to talk about as well. When you think about the biblical prophets and what you know about them, what are some of the characteristics that come to mind when you think about people like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, Micah, Ezekiel, Elijah, all those people, all those prophets of the Old Testament? What are some of the characteristics of them? And what do you read about them?
They weren't well received.
They weren't well received. A prophet is without honour in their hometown. That's what Jesus said.
They were reluctant.
Yeah, yep. So Jeremiah, Moses as well, yep. Jonah, you know. can't speak to those Ninevites, you know. Anything else? So they were reluctant, they weren't well received.
They often had to act, or they enacted their message, so they embodied a lot of, so it was more performative in the sense they performed as much as spoke.
Exactly, yeah. And they were also seen as a bit odd at times, a bit eccentric, you know. Who was it we were saying before who laid on their side for Ezekiel? He laid on his side for a year,
yeah.
I think.
And then he flipped over the other side.
Yeah, and just this really weird stuff we think of, and doing it as an expression of you know, to the people about coming back to God. So they're a bit odd, a bit eccentric, weren't well received. They were a bit reluctant as well, or more than a bit often. Anything else?
But they did it.
They were obedient, yep. Yep, definitely. They were obedient as well.
And often these major, the longer prophets, they were like a dripping tap because their message wasn't just given in the newspaper article once.
Yep.
For Jeremiah, it was given over years, the same message. And people just got sick of them. So, you know, Ezekiel, Isaiah, all these guys.
Yep.
Just like a dripping tap.
Yep. So, and that they basically had to keep speaking, yeah. And the people didn't listen, so they just said it again. And they kept speaking until people listened. And if they didn't, they kept saying it again.
I remember earlier on in my 20s that...
you remember that?
You did. My daughter just turned 18.
Hey,
she had a birthday party that went on Indian wedding day. But I remember going at church in those days, and we learned about the Old Testament prophets, and they all seem to be, you know, have this doomsday effect, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're all very negative. And so I remember at church that if someone had a word or a prophecy, it had to be always positive.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Because otherwise, you know, that's all old, that's all,
yeah.
You know, the New Testament stuff, it's all, you know, bells and whistles, and it's all happy stuff, you know what I mean? So they're often asked to do gear that, like, I think, wasn't Jeremiah known as the king? Didn't he say, oh, here comes that guy again? You know, everyone was really unhappy to see
yep.
him because he was delivering the bad news.
Yeah.
I mean?
Yep.
So,
but he did deliver it once. He delivered a good prophecy once, and the king said, tell me the truth. Oh, okay, but it's going to be true. You're going to kill me.
So one thing about the prophets, too, is it's, and I heard this term used once, that they were more prescriptive than predictive. Often you hear of prophets being almost like a Nostradamus type figure of predicting the future and, you know, the end times, this is going to happen, and there's all this stuff in Revelation. The prophets of the Old Testament didn't actually say much about that. They did say bits, you know, Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant and looking forward to Jesus.
How many times does that happen though, the end times?
Quite a lot, actually. Yeah. But they were more prescriptive, and when they did speak about the future, it was always in the context of what was happening at the time now. So we need to be aware of that too. With Jeremiah, you know, we said it wasn't well received. One of the characteristics of the prophets too is that what they said was often not popular. It wasn't an enviable job being called by God to you know, to say there's going to be destruction if you don't change your ways. There were conspiracies to kill Jeremiah, and when he complained to God about his persecution, God says to him, it's just going to get worse. You know, so thanks God. You know, exactly. He was beaten, he was put in stocks, and then he laments over the difficulty that speaking God's word has caused him, and he regrets becoming a laughingstock and a target of mockery. So Jeremiah is human. Right, he's like any of us. He's not a willing martyr. He's not like this, you know, I'm going to go out there and do it all and it's going to be great. He's got a healthy sense of self-worth in his sense. He realised he didn't enjoy being persecuted. No one in their right mind enjoys that, I think. But he's faithful, like we were saying before. And that doesn't stop him from doing what's right. Prophets also are often misunderstood. They're persecuted, and their persecution often comes from their own people. I've heard people, you know, in years past, who've spoken out prophetically and said their most damning criticism comes from the church. And you think of Jesus as well. He was the same. You know, the Pharisees, the religious people of the day, the teachers of the law, were the ones who, in the end, conspired to have him killed. And Jesus was God's son. Prophets care more about God and the things of God than anything else. They show that the ways of God are counter to the culture, and they speak into the culture in a way that cuts through all the crap and all the rubbish and goes straight to the heart of what needs to be said. Prophets are not nice people in that sense of it. They're not people pleasers. They will just say it like it is, and they don't care about reputations, particularly their own reputation. And they'll often say what's not popular, and they'll tell us often what we don't want to hear. There's a term that also I heard used some years ago, which was that people like that, they comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. And they do that in a way that cuts right to the heart of what's really going on in the people and in the culture at the time. So they're courageous people as well. In that sense of disturbing the comfortable and comforting the disturbed, it reminds me that God is interested, I think, more in our character than our comfort. And God is a God of comfort. And we heard that before when Carol spoke as well about her life and how she's come to view God. But God is more interested in who we are as people than our comfort overall. That's an interesting thing to remember. Prophets reveal the character of God. They reveal the heart of God, who comforts the outsider, includes the excluded, and loves the unlovable. And so they speak out so strongly against injustice because they care. They have this passion for God's heart for justice. They're prepared to look stupid because of what's right. And they have an overwhelming desire to bring the people back to God. And in a sense, they sort of feel for God. You know, you can imagine God weeping over the injustice that happens in the world. And the prophets do that too. Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet. So thinking about that stuff of their characteristics, as you see in the Old Testament, there's a few questions here. What aspects of Jeremiah do you see in Jesus? What are some things that Christians are called to be prophetic about today? We had a bit of a few comments about that before. Or what are some movements that we could find out about that you might know about, might even be a part of, prophetic type movements in today's culture that we could be a part of as well? So give me some responses. Firstly, what aspect of Jeremiah do you see in Jesus?
Weeping.
Weeping, yep. Jesus wept over Jerusalem.
Countercultural sort of thinking.
Countercultural thinking, yep. Yep. Again, not well received, you know. Jesus spoke out. Jesus was, you know, a very prophetic figure as well. Spoke out against injustice and said the first will be last and the last will be first. So speaking about, in a sense, judgment, but also hope as well, hope for this new kingdom that he was inaugurating.
But he also corrected bad theology. Like you said, when Jesus spoke against the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, he wasn't just against them because they were Pharisees and teachers of the law. It's what they've taken God's covenant and God's shape to be, and they've distorted it.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah did the same, because Judah was living out of a distorted view of God, and that's why they were acting weird. And when he spoke, he brought a correction to their understanding of what God expected them to be as God's people.
Yeah.
So Jesus did the same.
Yeah. And it wasn't a popular thing to say. The Pharisees were very respected people in their culture, in their time. And so for Jesus to speak out against them, it's like, well, you know, who are you to speak out against these people? We like the Pharisees. But Jesus said no, you know, and he called them sons of hell, you know, and pretty, pretty direct things. What are some things that we're called to be prophetic about today, you think, to speak out about?
Injustice.
Injustice? What sort of injustice do you think?
Well, the poor against, not the rich, but the richer and the poor getting poorer.
Yep.
Very similar to the days of Christ and the days of Jeremiah, the foreigner, mm-hmm. like the refugee,
yep.
The widow and the orphan.
Yep. So asylum seekers is one thing. It's movements like Love Makes a Way, you heard of them? They're a group of Christian people who visit the offices of MPs, and they have these sit-ins where they'll go to an office of an MP who has who they think needs to do more or say more about asylum seekers and the way they're treated. And they will sit in the office, in the foyer of the office of the MP, they'll sing songs and they'll pray, and they won't move till the police come and move them. And a lot of them have been arrested, but they've had their stories in the media. Because they've got this non-violent form of protest, and it's effective, and it's made the news. So while Jeremiah was prophesying this coming destruction of the nation, there were also other prophets as well, other prophets in quotes who were prophesying peace, like we were saying before, that everything's fantastic, everything's going to be fine, everything's positive. Let's just be positive and not worry about this other stuff. And if you look at Jeremiah chapter 6, 13 to 15, I'll read this out because it's a pretty small print. It says, "From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike, all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their detestable conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They don't even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord." So Jeremiah is speaking against these prophets of peace, if you like, saying that it's not all going to be fantastic. This is really bad. You know, so he's just, and when you hear people say that, you think, well, come on, let's just... It's almost like, don't tell me the facts. Tell me a nice story. You know, we don't want to hear the facts. It makes us uncomfortable. But Jeremiah didn't worry about that. Jesus also spoke about false prophets, always told the people what they wanted to hear. So true prophets are often unpopular and get themselves killed. Now think of people like, we're talking today about Martin Luther King, Oscar Romero, this guy called Victor Jara, who was an El Salvadorian guy back in the 80s, I think it was, all spoke out prophetically and were all killed for what they did. You think of people like Gandhi, who wasn't known as a Christian, but spoke very highly of the Sermon on the Mount, killed for what he was doing, for speaking out prophetically. People today, others like Dorothy Day, back in the 70s and 80s, a Catholic activist. Heidi Baker, you heard of Heidi Baker? Who speaks out about a lot of stuff these days as well. Who was the other one we mentioned this afternoon? Yeah, Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Again, killed for what he was doing, and was opposed often by the church in Germany at the time as well for speaking out against the Nazis. There was another woman that we mentioned today as well. Margaret Court. Well, some people might say, yeah, you know.
The Chinese Nobel Prize.
Yeah, some other woman I was thinking of, but it doesn't matter. But people like that who speak out against things and speak against what's happening and against injustice, but they also speak about hope for a coming day as well. And people like that often are persecuted and even killed. So no one wants to be unpopular, but the prophets show us that being popular matters less than doing what's right. In the end, doing what's right is what matters most to them. Going back to Jeremiah himself, you think of the persecutions that he had to go through. After he prophesied that Jerusalem would be handed over to the Babylonians, the king's officials, including this guy called Pashur the priest, tried to convince King Zedekiah that Jeremiah should be put to death because he was discouraging the soldiers as well as the people. And so you think the way of the prophet is so often against the ways of military power. And you think of today, like if you go to America, you speak against the military, it's like blasphemy. You just don't do that. The prophet is never on the side of empire. He's always on the side, he or she is always on the side of the poor and those who are being oppressed. What happened with Jeremiah then was that Zedekiah answered that he couldn't oppose the soldiers And so the king's officials, his officials took Jeremiah and put him basically down a hole where he sank into the mud and was left to die. The intent was to kill Jeremiah, to let him die by allowing him to starve to death. But he was rescued and pulled out of the hole, and he remained in prison until Jerusalem fell in 587 BC. Interestingly, it was the Babylonians, the empire at the time, who released Jeremiah and showed him a lot of kindness. And they allowed him to choose a place of his own residence, and they treated him very well, which is quite ironic as well.
So we can't compare them to
Colin, can we? No, not really. No, it's not quite, Grant. Maybe to Hawthorne yesterday, but not quite to Collingwood. So Jeremiah, I think, was a good man. I mean, he complained to God, I think, like, certainly like I have, and but I think like a lot of us do. But I think the ugly was the stuff that he had to expose. It was about the stuff that he was called to speak out against, the difficult job that he had. That was the ugliness, was the injustice and the way that the poor immigrants were being treated. They probably were seen as anarchists in a way. They weren't respectable.
You could substitute anarchists. They're the same prophets, you could say anarchists.
Well, they're speaking, this is what they're called. I mean, anarchists are probably a bit different.
More social commentators bring change here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. But ultimately, being, I'll say, prophetic, comes out of a passionate, it's an ache for God, an ache for the ways of God, and a real passion for God's love and God's justice to be shown in the world. And Jeremiah showed that, and he lived it as well. And the thing with the prophets, they overall live out what they preach and don't care what others think about them. They're prepared to put everything on the line because nothing is more important to them than the ways of God. They're sort of people who eat, sleep, and breathe the kingdom of God. They're a bit maybe zealous, a bit fanatical maybe as well, and they make us often feel uncomfortable because they cut through all the rubbish, all the stuff the baggage we put around, and they're not, you know, they're nice sort of middle class Christians often, if you like. They don't worry about reputations. If you think of someone like Jeremiah and the prophets of the Old Testament and prophets today, I guess the thing I want to leave with you is that they're not always these prophets of doom, but they're prophets ultimately of hope. The reason they speak out and get so angry about injustice is because they see it, they have a vision for a better day, a better way. And they have this vision that in the end, God's ways and God's kingdom will be established on earth as it is in heaven. And they are ultimately prophets of hope. And I want to leave you with a comment from one of my favourite people, a prophetic figure from about 50 years ago, Martin Luther King, who said that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. So there's that hope there, that ultimately justice is coming and there is a better day. We struggle today, we suffer today in so many ways, but there is this hope that we know is coming, and we see glimpses of throughout the world when we see the poor being fed, when we see justice being done in little glimpses. And one day it'll come and it'll be here fully. So I basically just want to leave you with that. And that's Jeremiah. And that's he was the representative of quite a few prophets in the Old Testament who all spoke about pretty much the same sort of stuff and had unpopular jobs, unpopular callings, were resistant in a lot of ways. But they were faithful as well, and they were eventually and ultimately people of hope. I'll leave it there. Any other comments? Sorry.
Well, the takeaway for us is as a community, we can choose to either be like the Jeremiahs or the people that Jeremiah spoke against.
Yep.
And that's the challenge for us as individuals, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Either the people that stand up for justice,
yep,
and embody and live that life.
Yep.
And then get uncomfortable when others who, like you're saying, do live that way, stand up and say, this isn't what
And I think, to be honest, I think a lot of us, we often choose the both. You know, there are times when we speak up and we have courage. There are other times when we don't have courage and we want to keep the status quo because it's comfortable. I know that in my own life. I've done it and I do it. And it's a matter of, for me, it's a matter of turning to God, surrendering to God consistently and becoming more and more Christ-like so we can have more courage and be people of courage who grow to be prophetic and prophets of hope ultimately as we grow. But we're going to fail. We do fail. But that's where there's grace as well. So, leave it there.